Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. So many years ago, I was in my driveway. And unfortunately, the winter, it was in Kansas of all places. Winter was starting to come on. And I'd started a winter project, which was I bought an old boat. And I thought, well, I'm going to fix this boat up over the winter, right? So I'm up on the bow of the boat. I'm scrubbing away with, trying to keep things from freezing. And these two young men come walking up. I said exactly the same thing. Two young men came up. They were wearing ties. I instantly knew we were going to have a conversation. Problem was, I was in no mood because I was filthy dirty. I was trying to get this work done. And I was about, I thought it was kind of cool. I was about 14 feet up in the air on the bow of the boat. It was on a trailer. And they were down below. And they said, good morning. And I said, good morning. And they said, we'd like to talk to you. And I thought, yes, you would like to talk to me. And of course, they were missionaries. They were doing just sort of what they needed to do. And God bless them that they did that. I think that was just wonderful. But, you know, there are times when you are ready to hear the word and times when you are not. And I was not ready. And all that kept going through my mind is, first of all, I was thinking to myself, you have a job to do. I have a job to do. Is there some way that you could do your job fast enough that I could do my job? And I just had all this stuff running through my head. And I realized whatever their story was, whatever it was that they were coming to tell me, I wasn't ready to hear it. I wasn't ready to hear it. And so I waited a little while, and then they were clearly going through the motions, you know? It's almost, I just had this sense, almost as if they were saying, please tell us to go away so we can get on to the next house. It's cold out here. You're clearly not going to invite us in, and you have a hose in your hand. But they were just kind of going through the motions, and so was I. I just couldn't get rid of them fast enough. Now, this has happened time and time again over the course of my life, over and over. I'm sure you've had the same thing. And you almost look at it with dread. And I got to reading the gospel lesson for today, and I thought, poor Thaddeus and Alpheus, poor Matthew and Mark and Luke. Can you imagine what would happen if they showed up at your home today? Would they receive any better reception than I gave those missionaries who came to my house? Probably not. Maybe you're very kind. I actually knew one woman in my life who always invited them in, made them tea, they hung out. She would keep them so long that they wouldn't come back. But she got something. She got the gospel from them. She never made light of that, and neither would I. It's just, she was hungry to hear in a way that I was not hungry to hear that day. Well, all of our gospel stories today are about mission. Something that we in the Lutheran Church try not to talk too much about, lest someone send us out, right? I mean, you all know, and I've been at this, I don't know, close to 40 years now. And I have to say, all the congregations that I've served, what's the hardest one to get anyone to serve on? Besides the finance committee. Yeah, stewardship is easier, actually, when you start talking about evangelism. Suddenly hives break out everywhere. We don't mind being good Christians. We don't mind that. We just don't want to tell anybody about it. And we sure don't want to be sent out. Did you notice in the gospel lesson for this morning, Jesus starts out by calling the 12 his disciples, his learners, the ones who are there at his feet. But toward the end, what does he call them? Apostolos, which means the sent out ones, the ones who are sent out. So they go in this text from being learners, those who sit at the feet of Jesus, who receive his wisdom and take it in, and they end their apprenticeship as apostles. And the end of that apprenticeship will come most sharply when Jesus dies on the cross and is raised and sends them out again. They are Jesus' missionaries. And he sends them, do you notice, into the whole world, into every village. Now, in this text, he says, go everywhere in the whole world except to the Gentiles. That would be y'all. You're the Gentiles. But that's because in this part of Matthew, we've not quite gotten to chapter 15 in Matthew. In chapter 15, Jesus will meet the woman who says, but, you know, all I want is a little something. And Jesus says, well, the master does not give the food of the children to the dogs. But even the dogs get the crumbs, she says. And from that moment, there's a wonderful phrase, and you'll hear about this later because you're stuck with me preaching. In that moment, Jesus repents. And suddenly he also is then sending the disciples, the apostles, out to the Gentiles as well. But listen for that inclusivity that Jesus sends these wonderful apostles out into the world. He gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to cure every disease and every sickness, to do all of that stuff. And he does it not out of religious fervor or a need for things to be exactly right or even worse, a need to put more butts in more pews. That is not the motivation for why Jesus sends out the missionaries. It's a little earlier in the text. He looks out over the crowds and they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. That word in Greek is one of my favorite words. It's splegna. It's the guts. It's wonderful, wonderful word. He's turned inside out for them. He has compassion on them, and so he sends out the 12. I think of this text as the model for what Christianity ought to look like. It is not a contest. It is not, for all intents and purposes, a nonprofit business for the purpose of propagating the Word of God. It's not that either. The ministry to which we have been called and to which you have all been sent is a ministry of compassion. To feel with those who are in the world, in their pain, in their joy, in their hopes, and in their hurt. I talked last week about you having a front row seat, a ringside seat to grace. And I think that that's true. But the mission to which you have been sent, because you are now all of the apostles, is one of compassion. One of deep, deep compassion. You see, our missionary task has maybe changed. Do you remember 40 years ago how we did missionaries? 50, 60, 100 years ago how we did missionaries? Yeah, we mostly sent white people to brown people to make the brown people into white people. Right? We decided that didn't go that well for either the brown people or the white people, or to any nation or any race. We no longer do that. As a matter of fact, it's funny. It's not funny. I think it's absolutely wonderful. Many of those places that we went to, like Ethiopia and parts of Africa, guess who they see as their greatest mission field? Us. And trust me, they're right. We need to be missionized, right? Maybe for different reasons than we might think. But the mission of Jesus Christ is still happening. The question is, what will our ministry be like? How will you be sent out into the world? There's no doubt, I think, to a certain degree, maybe to all of the degree, that part of the mission to which we're being sent is similar to my two young men who came and visited me that day. But I got to thinking about it. They came to tell me about Jesus. Actually, they came to tell me about their faith. I'm not totally sure that that's the message. To just tell people about our faith. I think that our mission is to tell people about the faith of Jesus. This one who decided that every one of you, in all of your brokenness and your hurt and your anger and your joy and your love, are worthy to be called children of God. Every single one of you. Well, that's a message, right? That's a message, as they say in the world that my family came from, that'll sell in most places. But not every place. The faith of Jesus reminds us that Jesus, who came onto the earth and healed and loved and cared, continues to do so through the apostles of God who are seated in this place. That means by definition we are a sent out people. So the problem with being Lutheran is we're a set down people. Right? I mean, you know, we joke about it, and it's very, very true. It's very, very true. And many Christians are like this. We're all like this. I think this is a human thing. Once you've sort of found what you want and you like it, oh, man, you just stay there. You just stay there. But that's not what God has in mind for us. God is sending us out. You see, our ministry is certainly about sharing that gospel. And at times, as to paraphrase that wonderful old phrase, you know, at times we will even use words. But the true telling of the gospel happens when we become the living gospel, the living good news of Jesus. That people see our hearts and hands and voices lending themselves in justice and in hope and in care and in healing, and then sharing why we do it. Because we are the people of God. You notice around, this is Gay Pride Month, so we have a lot of folks about a lot of things. We got our flags, we got the whole bit going. Yesterday, 13 of us walked in the AIDS Walk. We've walked in the AIDS Walk, I don't know how long we've been walking in the AIDS Walk. And every year, I wait to find out who's going to protest and what that will look like. And I really, really expected there to be a lot of them this year because there's been such an upsurge nationwide, worldwide, rising up against people who are queer or transgender or anything that's different. So I kind of girded my loins. As a matter of fact, I think Carol even said, "Tell me how it looks tomorrow." There were two people. One guy with a sign that said, "Repent." And then my favorite one was a lady who was across the street from Hula's. Do y'all know what Hula's is? Yeah. Okay. So Hula's is the queer bar, and she's across the street from Hula's saying, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. And I thought, that is really great. One man, one woman, repent, Jesus loves you. It's like, could we leave out this second part? And then this echoing voice, a group of voices from the balcony of that place of sin, cheering on the walkers, not mocking this woman, not paying any attention, but cheering on people who are walking to save lives and dignity and hope. And I thought, there are the apostles. There they are. Tomorrow is also Juneteenth. Most of you, actually, a lot of folks don't actually know what Juneteenth is, but it's been going on for a very, very long time within the Black community. And Juneteenth celebrates the day that slaves were emancipated in Galveston in 1865, 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. General walked into town and said, by the way, y'all are emancipated. And Black folks have been going and making pilgrimages to Galveston, Texas on June 19th for a very, very long time. And in 2021, we finally declared it a national holiday. The first new national holiday since Martin Luther King Day. Although it's been celebrated forever, we're finally getting on the bandwagon. It's part of what we mean when we say we are apostles of Christ. See, the gospel is not just about what we get in here. It's not just about what we say to our friends. It's not just about what we see on television or how we wave our signs. It's not just about a self-satisfactory faith. The gospel also includes resisting those who bring violence, including racism, efforts to squelch the rights of women, or, as is happening now again and again, the oppression of gay and bisexual people, and a growing movement to squash transgendered people altogether. And often done in the name of Jesus. Well, I don't know that Jesus. I don't know that gospel. I know the gospel where Jesus gathers 12 kind of funky looking folks together with a whole bunch of women and young people and old people and sends them out into the world to show what love looks like, what hope looks like, to stand between those who are being oppressed and their oppressors, to put our bodies and our reputation and our money and our time to work, to create together with God a kingdom of Jesus. I have forever thanked those two young men who came to me as I held my hose menacingly for reminding me that it's not just about marking off yet another visit or saying just another time the right thing or saying hallelujah and praise Jesus at the right moment. The gospel of Jesus is happening in you and through you and for the sake of the world. And when we stand with those who are most in need, even at our own peril, we stand under the cross of Jesus. And the kingdom of God comes, as Jesus says, a little nearer. A little nearer. you apostles of Christ. Amen. Our worship continues with hymn 626.